The Supreme Court has made clear that legislative boundaries cannot be drawn using race as the predominant factor, but drawing those lines to give a political party an advantage is still okay. The question is, how do you tell the difference? Especially when the Voting Rights Act allows for some consideration of race to ensure minority representation, and when party affiliation often correlates with race. The Supreme Court seemed unsure on how to balance those mandates, as it heard cases today from Virginia and North Carolina. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In Virginia, the Republican state legislature drew 12 state legislative districts, each with a 55% African-American majority. The legislature argues that it was just trying to meet the requirements of the Voting Rights Act. Representing the state lawmakers, lawyer Paul Clement portrayed the Virginia line drawing as a bipartisan success story and noted that only two members of the Black Caucus voted against it. But Mark Elias, representing the other side, said the legislature had created a one-size-fits-all redistricting that places voters in or out of districts based solely on the color of their skin. Justice Anthony Kennedy seemed to agree, but Justice Samuel Alito said the whole controversy looked to him like little more than an invitation to litigation. On the steps of the Supreme Court after the argument, Elias noted that prior to the redistricting, Black candidates were winning elections, even though African American voters were a minority in many districts.
The idea that those percentages needed to be ramped up was not a function of what was necessary by the Voting Rights Act or to help the African-American community. It was racial sorting, pure and simple.
In today's second case from North Carolina, lawyers Elias and Clement were back at the lectern. At issue were two congressional districts drawn by Republicans who hold the majority in the state legislature. Clement, representing the Republicans, said one district was drawn to comply with the Voting Rights Act and the other was an avowedly political draw, meaning it was drawn to maximize partisan advantage. Justice Elena Kagan interrupted, "Suppose a state wants to segregate all the African-American voters, but then they justify it based on politics because that sounds better. Are you suggesting that the challengers would have to present their own maps? Yes, if they've got all the direct evidence of a racial motive, the alternative map drawing should be a breeze." "Not so easy," replied Kagan, "because we know that race and politics correlate. But if race is the motive, you get one result, and if politics is your motive, you get another." Justice Stephen Breyer, "The problem right now is that we seem to have a set of standards that the lower courts can't apply. We need to have standards that enable them to separate the sheep from the goats without every case coming up to us to spend the entire term reviewing 5,000-page records." When Elias returned to the lectern for the Democrats, he said the district only needed 2,800 more voters to reach the target number for population. Instead, he said, they changed the district lines to move in 75,000 African Americans and move out an equal number of whites. That, he suggested, corralled Black voters to minimize their influence in neighboring districts. In rebuttal, lawyer Clement said the fact that they brought in a bunch of African Americans because they were trying to bring in Democrats is about as interesting as the sun coming up in North Carolina. A conundrum for the court to resolve, with a decision expected by June. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.